Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue had three former Boilermakers selected in the NFL draft, from George Karloftis in round one to Xander Horvath in the third to last selection, and David Bell in between. Let's break it down on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters, Tom Deanhart. We'll talk some hoops recruiting with Brian Newbert in a few minutes on the podcast as well. Anything surprising about draft weekend to you, Tom?
I think it went pretty much from a Purdue perspective, according to Hoyle. George probably went where I think we thought, maybe at the bottom, near the bottom of the first round. Maybe could have gone a little bit higher, Kyle, but there were a lot of good edge rushers in that draft. Five were taken in the first round, with George being the fifth. David Bell, third round. I mean, I think that's outstanding. Honestly, I thought he'd be maybe slipping to the fourth or the fifth round, but Bell goes 99th overall in the third round to the Cleveland Browns. So to me, that was just maybe a tad bit higher than I anticipated. And then Horvath, the 260th pick in the seventh round, probably spot on, really. If he was going to get picked, he was going to be in the seventh round. And not to see the other guys picked wasn't a shock. Either DeMarcus Mitchell and Jaylen Alexander signed free agent deals with the Patriots and Bears, respectively. And Tyler Witt and Jackson Ansip signed rookie minicamp free agent deals, which means they're going to go to camp in May just for the chance to impress enough to get invited back to camp in July. So that's sort of how it all unfolded for Purdue. The only two guys that have no home at all, not a shock, that took part in Purdue's pro day were Dedrick Mackey and Greg Long.
Yeah. So with Karloftis, I mean, Karloftis gets picked 30th to the Chiefs. I mean, it seems like that's a pretty good fit, considering Kansas City needs some defensive help. Although maybe you want to go, a little bit higher than that, to go to a team that's established and a franchise that is established and has a quarterback and can compete for Super Bowls for a long time, that's not the end of the world, really, either. I mean, he lands in a pretty good spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, like you said, you certainly would like to go on a little bit higher, but, man, to land in Kansas City, what an ideal franchise for a player like Karloftis to jump into a franchise, again, that's been the last four AFC title games, Kyle. They hosted the last four. They went to two Super Bowls. Of course, they won one Super Bowl. I know they lost Tyreek Hill, but there's still a lot of momentum in Kansas City with Andy Reid as the head coach. That was a big need for the Chiefs. They wanted an edge rusher. They took a cornerback earlier in the first round from Washington, but they got their edge rusher with the 30th pick in Karloftis. So, yeah, boy, like I said, a passionate fan base in Kansas City, a great tradition, and, again, a franchise most important that's well-run, and it's very much a factor in pushing for Super Bowls here once Karloftis hits the ground running over there in Arrowhead Stadium.
David Bell in Cleveland. Cleveland, an organization that can't really do anything right, and even when it seems to do something right, it still does something wrong. It just seems like so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the wide receiver situation looks like in Cleveland with the new quarterback there, Deshaun Watson, and sort of that mess with Baker Mayfield. But what do you think about Bell being with the Browns?
Yeah, since that franchise, Kyle, in 1999, it's just been a turnstile of head coaches and quarterbacks and a lot of tumult, right? We talked about how Karloftis is going to a great franchise. Unfortunately for David Bell, the same can't be said for the Browns. I mean, you hope for the best, but you talked about Deshaun Watson. I mean, anybody who follows the NFL has read plenty about the potential upheaval that sign is going to continue to cause and win. Is he going to play? Is he going to play at all next year? So they already have a soap opera with their quarterback, and David Bell walks into all that. You wish the best for him, and I'm never going to underestimate David Bell. I mean, Kyle, you sat in the press box. You watched him on TV. You know what this guy's all about. He's not a shorts and tank top workout guy. He's a guy you got to flip on the film to truly appreciate, and that's really what counts, right? I mean, the big catches, the route running, the toughness, and And again, Kyle, third and six, the grabs he makes to keep first downs going, the difficult catches he makes in traffic. I mean, I don't care what you do running in shorts against air in a workout facility in February. That means really nothing. David Bell did it on Saturdays, and I think the Browns certainly saw enough to merit making him that third-round pick.
Yeah. I've been to one Browns game in my lifetime, and it was
one too many.
It was Drew Brees, I think, versus Tim Couch when Brees was in his first season as San Diego's starter. I believe Drew threw for like 98 yards, and Couch threw for like 70, and the Chargers won. It was like a showcase of brilliant quarterback play and a classic game. Yeah, that was when Drew was still trying to sort of hang on and find himself in the NFL. He threw for 90-something yards, a touchdown, and two picks or something. That was bad. I mean, he was better than Couch that day, though. But
people forget he almost, wasn't the guy in San Diego. There was a lot of doubt in 2002, 2003, of course. And you know what's funny, too? You mentioned that when, of course, Drew Brees took one of his visits to Kentucky, and who was his official host on that visit? Tim Couch. So that's what you got to see. You got to see him go square off in an NFL venue. So, yeah, so you wish David Bell the best, but, again, the Browns have been a mess. Their owner's kind of a mess, too. And best of luck to him. I hope it works out. And we all know he's going to do all he can to make it work.
Yeah. We know that guys, even when they're drafted, sometimes when they're drafted, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds don't always make the cut. You think Xander Horvath's got a chance to stick in the NFL?
Boy, again, I mean, maybe I've got bias. I haven't seen the guy up close for a few years here. But Shemin Esley, he can help you on special teams. A smart player. He can block, catch. He's not really a classic true fullback. He's got a lot of running back in him. We know that working out of a one-back set in West Lafayette. And Kyle, too, he can catch the ball. You could bring this kid in on third down and just throw him the ball in the flat. And we've seen him leap over defenders. He can run over guys. I mean, boy, just having him on your roster, paying him the minimum to start, I certainly think he would have a good shot here. So you got to be happy for him. And, too, Kyle, think about this. Remember, he came to Purdue as a walk-on, Mitchell Walker Marion High School, and he almost went to Indiana as a walk-on linebacker. So he goes from walk-on in 2017 and develops into a key player in West Lafayette. Now he's an NFL draft pick. So another fun story from the Purdue program. And, Kyle, that's three picks for Purdue in this draft, and I sent out a tweet the other day. First time since 2008, Purdue's had three guys picked. And I'm going to throw this on you. Do you remember the one year they had nine guys picked?
Oh, yeah.
2004. Yeah. Nine guys got picked in 2004.
It's hard to believe,
Think about that. I'm trying to think of who
the three in 2008.
Okay, it was Dustin Keller. You want to try to guess the last one?
Stanford Kegler? Was Stanford Kegler in that draft?
Yeah, he was one. There was one other guy, defensive end.
In 2008? Rob Ninkovich?
Cliff Averill.
Cliff Averill, okay.
So there you go. Pretty good threesome. I mean, Keller got hurt, but he certainly did well for a few years with the Jets, and Cliff was great. And Stanford was kind of a cup of coffee guy. But he played a few years with the Titans, I think, the Texans. So, yeah. And, again, another box to check for the Jeff Brohm era, to be honest with you. Nine wins for the first time since 2003. Three NFL draft picks for the first time since 2008. There's a lot of things that in 5 years Jeff Brohm's regime's been able to accomplish. And, and I'll be honest, the anticipation for this year, It's at a fever pitch, but I don't know how much more time we have left, Kyle. I guess the one other big news outside of the draft is Marvin Grant going in the transfer portal. Hold your hat with that because it seems awfully fishy to me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Well, let's get to that here in just a second. I was first, just to wrap up the draft, who do you think gets picked next year from Purdue.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Aiden O'Connell maybe has a chance. I would project him maybe as a late quarterback right now. Now he can do a lot perhaps to make a name for himself to get beyond that. But I would, you know, maybe a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick. Maybe I think a Corey Trice needs to get more on film. I think any of those interior defensive linemen good enough to be late round picks. Who else am I missing there that perhaps is an option to be drafted by from Purdue?
Yeah. Great question. I've got a story I started working on yesterday that I'm going to post today on that very subject. Is Io Pine, who I think could be picked next year from Purdue in the 2023 draft. And yeah, O'Connell, I think he continues on this trajectory. He's going to continue to get on people's radars, like you said, mid to late round pick, I think. And I tell you what, I think the clear-cut best prospect Purdue's got is Jalen Graham, without a doubt. Boy, if he runs well, he could be at least a second or maybe a third round pick. I'm just a total freak athlete. You can play all four downs. So he's the number one guy. Corey Trice is probably number two, who you talked about. He's going to have to show he's healthy, I think. We all know he missed most of last year with an ankle and a knee issue. But, boy, 6'3" cornerbacks like him are what NFL teams like. So I don't think Branson Dean, he may be the only D lineman, I think. And he's a real tweener guy, probably more of a free agent. Jack Sullivan, Lawrence Johnson are probably free agents. Same with Kieran Douglas and Samiki Fakasiecki and Jamari Brown. Offensively, Eric Miller is the one senior offensive lineman. I have a hard time thinking he's going to get picked. King DeRue is going to be a senior. I don't think he'll get picked. Now, Kyle, will Brock Thompson or Tyrone Tracy come out? Those are two juniors. They could come out. I don't know. So those are a couple guys to keep on your radar that aren't going to be true seniors or even redshirt seniors next year. But, again, Jalen Graham and I think Corey Trice and Aiden O'Connell are probably your guys. And maybe one other guy come, maybe Payne Durham. He's going to be a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
He's tough. He catches everything, but he just isn't fast.
Right. All right, let's get to that story that you mentioned, the Marvin Grant getting into the transfer portal, which was a surprise to me. I did not see that coming when it jumped across the Twitter on Sunday. What's up with that?
Well, there's something there. I mean, May 1st was the deadline yesterday to get in the portal if you want to be eligible next year, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Marvin Grant jumps in at the last minute to the portal. Kyle, this is a guy who was second on the team in tackles last year, started all 13 games, was projected to start again this year for a defense that should be almost as good as last year's, maybe better even without Karloftis, and a team, Kyle, that's coming off 9 wins that could look at another 7 or 8 or 9 win season this year. Why would you want to leave that situation, Kyle? Kyle Chargers, why would you want to leave that situation? I don't know, man. I'm scratching my bald head right now. I don't know. So, stay tuned. I think I'm hoping to find something out here. But, yeah, it's we've all read stories about what's going on at some of these other schools with players. And here's Marvin Grant. I mean, I'm like you. I was like, what? You know, there were other guys I had on my radar that I would not have been shocked to see go in the portal. But Marvin Grant was not on my list, my friend.
Yeah. I'm not saying this has happened in this case because I have no idea. I mean, I'm like you. I just don't know. But with all the NIL stuff, the one thing that would be a next level type of problem is if schools just started recruiting guys that were on rosters of other teams. Whether it's schools or people. Oh, I know. Whether it's schools directly doing it, or you know, people associated with schools, or fans, or boosters, or whatever of schools, that would be an issue. I mean, it probably already is an issue.
Oh, yeah, it is without a doubt. I mean, I've talked to plenty of coaches, and that's, you know, high school coaches are contacting the role players. They're saying, hey, kid, Wisconsin really says, you know what, if you go in the portal, they'll probably take you. They need a defensive end, you know, those types of scenarios. Or somebody's handler. All these players have handlers. They'll contact the school. So, yeah, that's certainly going on. These back channel stuff's been going on for a while. So, yeah, that's it. It's just added to the pile of craziness that college sports has become the last year or so with NIL and the transfer portal. as being a game changer for good or for bad.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Tom. We'll look for that story on some prospects for the NFL draft for next year at goldblack.com. Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring Brian in. We'll talk a little bit of hoops recruiting after the run and slam this weekend. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahm Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Hey, Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit of basketball recruiting and whatever else comes up after your visit up to Fort Wayne. How many years consecutively you've been at Fort Wayne this time of year now? Like 25? Feels like it's been that long.
Well, I think I might have missed it for my wedding years ago. That was 1999.
Quite a sacrifice you made.
Hell. You were there. You might remember. What year was that?
I don't know. You should probably know better than I would think.
Yeah, I've been at this thing every year since it was at Purdue. Many years ago. I remember remember it vividly in what used to be known as the IAF. Players crossed Northwestern Avenue after the event was over and then crossing the street to come back so that they could make visits to Purdue and talk to the coaching staff because – under NCAA rules, you had to leave campus and then come back, and that's what they did to get around that. It was the highlight of the weekend watching the unofficial visit Olympics there at the end.
Would anybody even bother with that these days? I mean, is the NCAA like there's no way there's nobody's actually watching, are they? There's no one at the switch. There's no one there. No one's home.
Yeah, no. And it's little crap like that, you know, I think is, you know, probably part of the reason that, you know, the NCAA might not endure here once the high major people have to sit back and really ask themselves, hey, we've got the leverage to go do what we want here. Do we really want to deal with little pain-in-the-ass stuff like that? Do we want to worry about whether or not it's legal to, you know, give kids cream cheese on their bagels instead of jelly or butter, you know? I mean, that's kind of where the NCAA is right now. It's little annoying stuff like that that has almost sort of defined the NCAA to its membership over the years. And yet there's no rules with name, image, likeness. So the agency with that is renowned for the for the obnoxiousness of its rule book. Actually has no rule book for the most transformative event in the history of the organization. Go figure.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I'm sure we could keep going on and on about all of that. Yeah. What's weird about it, though, to me, and
shaking his fist at Cloud already.
Yeah. You know what? It feels, and maybe this is just me, but it feels like because of all of this that high school recruiting has taken such a back seat to some of this other stuff, and perhaps that's just natural in this process. But you still do have to recruit high school kids, and there are good high school kids, as you saw over the weekend. Does it feel like to you that the high school recruiting has taken a back seat, or is that just part of the nature of what's happening right now?
I don't think so. And, you know, I think it would be awful cynical to kind of frame it that way. I also don't want to suck all the enthusiasm out of our viewers and readers and listeners in that regard. But, you know, for NIL to matter, you have to have good players. And I think that the search for good players is, you know, remains on. And, you know, Purdue has been on the wrong end of some NIL stuff here this spring, but it's only because they're recruiting the best transfers out there. You know, there's a big difference between recruiting a 16-year-old right now and recruiting the best transfer on the transfer market at the precise moment that name, image, likeness, excess is kind of hitting its zenith here. So there is a big difference between these two things. I also want to make it clear that, you know, Purdue's not going to be the sucker in this forever. I mean, they're still going to be on the better end of this thing. It's the mid-majors and the low majors that are going to get, you know, cannibalized by all this. You know, when Purdue gets a good player, you know, being at Purdue is still going to be a pretty good deal for guys. It's going to be a high level of basketball. It's going to be a good place to play. You're going to win. It's not a situation people are going to be running from. I think over time they're going to be, you know, viable in the NIL world. I think they're working on some things here to get guys something. Are they going to be paying kids $800,000 over 2 years plus a car? No, that's never going to be reality, I don't think. But I don't think that, you know, Purdue's going to be completely on the outside of this thing looking in over time. So right now, Purdue is at a huge disadvantage because they happen to be recruiting against all the people who were mobilized to hit the ground running on this, if you know what I mean. But I don't think that's going to be – I don't think that's going to be the case forever. I also don't think that they aren't going to I don't think they're going to get picked apart by people, you know, buying their kids off their rosters or you know, guys transferring in order to go look for something else somewhere. Now, I mean, I've kind of thought about this, and like the players Purdue had before, where would this be an issue? I suspect Caleb Swanigan probably would have been very mindful of this in recruiting. But that said, I think their ultimate goal, his camp's ultimate goal, was on the NBA payout, not the short-term payout. I mean, he could have gone somewhere and gotten paid. He didn't. He went to Purdue because he wanted to prepare for the NBA and get that payout. You know, I think holding on to Carson Edwards might have been difficult in the transfer portal era, especially with NIL. You know, he was so homesick there for a while that, you know, Houston and Texas and Texas A&M probably would have been all over him nowadays and probably promised him some things. Purdue is going to get, you know, I don't think Purdue's going to get destroyed by this over time. It's not helpful. It's very inconsistent with the way Purdue conducts its program. But they're just going to have to acclimate because it's not like the NCAA is going to come in here and enforce and implement or enforce any rules. It's going to be in like the federal government's hands right now, which is, you know, not the position you necessarily want to be in.
I did want to ask you about a couple of players. But first, and we're going to run out of time here, but the goal still is to win, like win basketball games. I think there are some unforeseen consequences of all of this that will come about at some point. Like, we don't know that Miami is suddenly like going to be really good. I know they were really good before and had a good season this year, at least a good NCAA tournament. But we don't sort of know what – I mean, we already saw that a little bit with their other players suddenly, you know, freaking out a little bit, right? So we don't know what the consequences are more than a month past a guy taking $800,000 to go in a car to go play basketball somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's – you know, I want to make this crystal clear. That's not the player's problem. I mean, the players are getting there.
No, I understand.
The players deserve. Yeah, that's the coaches and that's the school's problem. And I just always want to mention that you know, this is a bad deal for schools. This is a bad deal for probably for fans, based on, you know, the reaction I've seen. But this is a hell of a deal for the players. You are dealing with the reality that it creates some weird situations like. Like what happened at Miami, which was thoroughly predictable when their sugar daddy booster, you know, needed to pat himself on the back and try to maximize his own clout by putting out the numbers. You know, that just seemed like a bad idea. But never underestimate somebody's desire to try to buy clout. But it also created a situation, trust me on this one, yesterday, you know, there were kids with numbers out there to their people at their schools saying, I need this number or I'm going to the portal, because yesterday was the last day you can go in the portal. Now, it was a relatively quiet day, so I'm guessing a bunch of people got paid, or that stuff's all going to come out today on the first business day afterwards when all the compliance people are back in the office. I don't know. But there were some pretty high-profile kind of holdouts out there, and you know, I that kind of stuff. I don't think that's really gonna. I mean, it could, but I don't think that's really gonna affect Purdue in the short term. Now, I don't know. I mean, you know, you and Tom were just talking about Marvin Grant. I don't know what's going on there. That could have been one of those situations where NIL factored in, or somebody messed with him the way, you know. Yeah. Michigan State obviously messed with Malik Carr last year. I have no idea, but it is a fascinating time in college sports.
All right, we were supposed to talk about high school basketball players here in this segment, and I've got about 30 seconds. So you've got 30 seconds to tell me something about somebody
cares?
That you saw. It'll actually run out of time. I have like a countdown. I put in a time, and it runs out. And now I'm down to like 20 seconds. I have a little bit more time than that, but. Tell me something about someone.
man, you put me on the spot. I think Draven Gibbs Lawhorn didn't shoot the ball great this weekend, but you know, I think it's more of the same from him. I think he's a really gifted scorer who's going to help Purdue, you know, from day one in that regard. I think Cannon Ketching, he's at Brownsburg, is really, really coming on. He's a class of 2024 wing with excellent physical gifts. He's a great shooter and he's got unbelievable genetics. I think that's a guy Purdue has to be looking at right now in an offer type of context already, even though no high majors have offered him yet. I'm not aware of anybody having offered him yet, but he's very, very close to being that level of player if he's not there already. You know, Trent Sisley, 2025, who's got an offer from Purdue, is excellent. I mean, he was really good all weekend, and really validated himself as a really good player. Xavier Booker, how did I forget him? The 2023 almost singular target for Purdue right now is it's not been a straight line for him, but he has really kind of validated himself in his national rankings, and I could see him even moving up. Which, if they'd redone this, you know, in December, he would have plummeted because he wasn't playing very well back then. But he's really turned it on, sustained it here.
All right,
out of
time, Brian. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, that'll do it for That'll do it for our podcast. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.